Welcome this morning to First Baptist Church. Glad you're worshiping with us. Psalm 111, verse 1 says this, "Hallelujah! I will praise the Lord with all my heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." You know, that sums up why we're here this morning. You know, this verse didn't come to me last night or even this morning. This came to me just a minute ago, not because I was thinking I need to share a verse, but because I opened my Bible and was trying to turn where I got, and I happened to catch this verse in my eyes. And what caught me was that first word, hallelujah. Now, I don't know how often we get to shout in church. Do you get to shout very often? But in my translation of the Bible, hallelujah has an exclamation point, which means the writer is thinking not hallelujah, but hallelujah. He's praising God. He is thankful for all that God has done. It says, I will praise the Lord with all my heart. This morning, I realize we have a lot of distractions. I realize there's a lot of things going on. Some of us are looking forward to a football game this afternoon. Some of us are looking forward to meals after church. Some of us are looking forward to spending time with family, celebrating different events. We have all sorts of things to look forward to. But for just the next hour, as we're gathered together, I hope that we can collectively shout hallelujah, that we can collectively praise our God this morning with all of our hearts. That's why we're gathered this morning. What we really want to do, though, this morning is what the psalmist writes in Psalm 111. We want to praise our God with all our hearts, shouting these songs in praise. Let's pray, and then we'll continue with our worship. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we are gathered together for one united purpose. Lord, I thank you that as we're assembled this morning for just a short hour, we are all together. And in this hour, our heart shouts, hallelujah, praise with all of our heart. Lord, this morning, I just pray that you would lead us, that you would make us your one focus, that you would allow us to be determined to give you praise and glory and honor, to put aside all of the things that distract us and all of the things that are coming up later, and just focus for this time on bringing you glory. We ask all of this in your name. Amen. After a brief break from our primary church, we're starting it back up again for the year 2015. I'd invite you to follow Miss Megan. And while they're following Miss Megan, I'd like for you to turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we'll be starting in verse 38, reading verses 38 through 42 together. This morning's message is entitled Priorities. Priorities. Glenn Coffey was a promising young football player. After he rushed for 1,383 yards and 10 touchdowns after his junior year at the University of Alabama, he skipped his senior year and went to the NFL draft. He was drafted in the third round by the San Francisco 49ers. Glenn Coffey had a wonderful rookie year. He was backing up a Pro Bowler in Frank Gore, but he managed to get a few touches nonetheless and made the most of it when he did. And he was in line the following year to receive even more carries and do even bigger and better things. But abruptly, right before the start of his second year, he decided to retire from football at the age of 23. Coffey stated that his heart was never really into football and that God wanted him to do something else. Unsure of what it was at the time, it was in 2013 that Glenn Coffey enlisted in the U.S. Army, where he became a paratrooper. He says this, "I don't miss the NFL and that serving in the military is a much better use of my gifts, much better than playing professional football." He also goes on to say, "I figured that if I'm able, the Lord's blessed me with an able body while I'm young to get out there and get dirty." He claims that money is not the only deciding factor in things. You know, I don't know that Coffey did the right thing or the wrong thing. I started asking myself, did he do the right thing? Is quitting an NFL career to serve our military the right thing? Well, if you say it's the right thing, that's under the assumption that there are hundreds of young NFL players that are then doing the wrong thing because they're able to quit and go into the military and they're choosing not to. Does that make them wrong? Yeah, I'm not sure that I would be proud of Glenn Coffey because he did the right thing or that he made the right decision. I think I would be proud of Glenn Coffey because he made the difficult decision. He made a decision that was beyond what many of us would make. He had millions of dollars on the table had he just finished out his rookie contract. And instead, he felt God calling him somewhere else. You know, we make decisions every day, every single day. We decide what shirt to wear. Me and Taryn decided to wear purple today. We just have this telepathic thing going on. All right? We decide what clothes to wear. We decide what to eat for breakfast, what we're going to have to do at work or at school. We have family decisions. Then we come home after work and we have to make decisions based on the 200 plus channels that the average cable company provides. Then, that is, if we decide to watch TV at all, we have to make small decisions. We have to make big decisions. We have to make insignificant decisions, and we have to make life-changing decisions. There are some decisions we make we don't even realize that we make. Did you know several studies show that the average American makes, either consciously or unconsciously, the average American makes 35,000 decisions every day. 35,000. Cornell did a study and says the average person makes 220 some odd decisions every day just based on food. Now, we're a Baptist church. We can say amen to that, right? We make all of these decisions, many of them unconscious. You realize that when you make a decision, they've done studies that as they look in your brain, they can figure out what decision you're going to make 7 seconds before it actually comes to your consciousness. Your brain's already doing the decision making, and it's already figured out what it's going to do next, and it takes 7 seconds for it to finally sink in to our thick skulls. We make decisions every day. It's impossible to know for sure, but it's safe to assume that we make somewhere between 3,000 to 5,000 conscious decisions a day, decisions that we choose. How are we to make the right decisions? How are we to do the right thing? Decisions, you see, are dependent on our priorities. Every decision we ever make boils down to what priorities are in our minds. There was a group of friends that went deer hunting, and they paired off in twos for the day. That night, as one of the hunters was returning, he came back alone, and he was staggering under this weight of this huge 8-point buck. And as he's carrying it, one of the friends calls out, "Hey, where's Harry?" And the man carrying the deer said, "Harry had a stroke of some kind. He's a couple of miles back up the trail." And they said, "You left Harry laying there and carried the deer back?" And the man said, "Well, I thought about it for a moment, and then I thought, nobody's going to steal Harry, you know." So we have priorities, right? Different priorities. They're extremely important that we have our priorities lined up. And getting our priorities straight will affect more decisions than we will ever understand. It will affect more than what we wear or what we eat. Jesus recognized the importance of priorities when he entered in and visited the home of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. I would like for you to read with me Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. We're just going to read these final five verses. It says this: "While they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand.'" Verse 41, "The Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her.'" You know, Mary and Martha's priorities were different. Jesus commended Mary's priorities over her sister's. But notice this for just a moment. Martha did not necessarily make wrong decisions. It's not as if she was morally sinning. It's not as if Jesus came into their house. Martha said, come on in, and while you're here, I'm going to go out and go out on the town. I'm going to go to all the taverns and all the bars. I'm going to go find all the men, and I'm going to go live up life. It's not as if she made poor decisions by anyone's estimations. But she missed out because of her misguided priorities. It wasn't a matter of sin or not sin. It was a matter of priority. A couple of truths, just two truths I want to look at this morning. When we think about our priorities, when we look at Mary and Martha and try to figure out what our priorities should be, what they should look like. The first thing I want us to know is that priorities reflect your outlook. Priorities reflect your outlook. Notice that Martha did make Jesus a priority. It's not as if she dismissed him. As a matter of fact, look with me again in verse 38. Luke 10:38 says, while they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Martha welcomed Jesus, not Mary. Martha's the one who invited him to come and stay. Martha's the one that knew that Jesus was a great man of God. Martha made him a priority. She invited him in and served him well. But she only saw the immediate effects of serving Jesus. She didn't see the eternal significance. Mary, on the other hand, was more interested in learning from Jesus than entertaining him. She was more interested at sitting at his feet and listening to his every word. Mary understood that there was value beyond just making Jesus comfortable. She wanted to know what the message of Christ was. Look in verse 42. It says, Mary had made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary's decision, based on her priority, had lasting effects. Here's what we need to know about priorities. When we think about reflecting our outlook, is this. There is a difference between temporary priorities and eternal priorities. Let me say that again. There is a difference between temporary priorities and eternal priorities. Martha was fixated on the immediate priorities. How can we get Jesus in our house, feed him, and take care of him? She was concerned with the here, the now, the today. And for Martha, when Jesus left the house, it was going to be but a memory. Remember when Jesus came and visited us at that finite point in time. Mary, on the other hand, focused less on the temporary priority and focused on the eternal priority. You see, when Jesus left the house, Mary would not be looking back saying, remember when Jesus was here. She will look forward and saying, remember what Jesus taught me and how to live. What am I doing going forward? Too often our outlook is based on the here and the now. What makes sense in the moment? What is right for me today? We make decisions all the time based on our priorities. And if our priorities are so fixated on the moment, on the temporary, our decisions will often lead us to miss out on the blessings God has for us. But if our priorities are on things of eternal significance, we will make eternal decisions. Over the three doorways at the cathedral in Milan, there are three inscriptions that are spanning over the arches. And as you walk under one, you see carved over the archway this phrase, all that pleases is but for a moment. It's a reminder that all of the blessings we have in life will come and go. All that pleases is but for a moment. Then you pass through that and you get to the second doorway and an inscription over the next says, all that which troubles us is but for a moment. A reminder, the first one, everything that is good in life comes and goes, but thankfully everything that is troubling for us comes and goes as well. But underneath the great central entrance of the main aisle is this inscription, that only is important which is eternal. If we can remember these three truths, that which pleases is but for a moment. That which troubles is but for a moment. And all that is important is that which is eternal. It will reshape our priorities. You see, our priorities are a reflection of our outlook. Do we have an outlook that is temporary based on today and the here and now? What is happening in the moment? Or is our outlook one that sees the eternal value of following Christ? Our priorities reflect our outlook. But secondly, and the application of our priorities is that our priorities affect our actions. Your priorities affect your actions. Determining what decisions you make and what you do are what your priorities are lined up with. It can also be said this way if you wanted, your actions will reflect your priorities. In other words, I can tell you what's important to you based on what you do and how you act. I text quite a bit. I text often to different people, but never do I text more than about twice a week during basketball season when Kentucky's playing. My phone just lights up. I mean, I send text messages back and forth to my dad, to old friends. I text Tracy yesterday. I text Shane Harrell yesterday. And I text several. It's just all the time. You can look at my phone, and if you just look at the activity of the action on there, you can see where my priorities are when it comes to texting. We can say the same about Facebook. We can say the same about social media. But you can say the same about your day-to-day walk as well. Our actions are always a reflection of our priorities. And your priorities ultimately affect what you do. What you believe and what you say you believe often are different. What you believe and what you say you believe are often different. See, we have this idea of what we should believe. We have this idea of what our priorities should be. But just because we claim something is our priority does not mean it is a priority to us. On the contrary, what we believe and what we do will always line up together, whether we think they do or not. What we believe and what we do will always match. What our priorities are will always lead us to make certain decisions. We can get a good sense of a person's priorities by their action. Jimmy Johnson, when he was coaching at the University of Miami at the college level, he had a wife and the appearance of a wonderful marriage. And he claims that he had his family life because it was expected of college coaches. He had a wife and he expressed interest in her because when he was out recruiting, it helped get recruits that he had a lovely family and a lovely home. After he left coaching college, he went on to the NFL and coached the Dallas Cowboys. There we go, woohoo. Coach the Dallas Cowboys, and before you get all excited, his priorities very quickly changed. It was shortly after that that he dismissed his wife and family, and he divorced his wife and rid himself of what he says was excess baggage. He threw away like yesterday's newspaper. He didn't need her anymore. He didn't lose any time or any. It didn't gain anything by keeping her. And he confessed that he never invested in his family because his priority was winning football games. You know, Jimmy Johnson won some football games. He did some great things as a coach of the Cowboys. He did some great things after he left the Cowboys. But his actions reflected his ultimate priorities. Did he experience some temporal success? Absolutely. But his eternal outlook, at least for his marriage, was affected. Martha's priorities were temporary and her actions showed it. As a matter of fact, we see in verse 40, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks. You know, our tasks are not always evil Martha's actions were not immoral. The truth is, we all have many tasks. We all juggle in balance many things in our lives. We have work, we have family, we have finances, we have our own personal activities, we have friends, we have our church, we have our relationship with God. Our priorities will dictate which tasks we choose to focus on. I get a kick, and I don't know, this is my first year here. I've not really experienced a hunting season here. Is there big hunters in this church by chance? One to a couple of, yeah, a few. In Kentucky, it's not that they have four seasons. They have winter, and they have spring, they have summer, and then they have hunting season. That's their four seasons, you know. And when hunting season starts, it's amazing. You know the first Sunday of hunting season because the church is empty. It's empty. It is. As a matter of fact, there are schools in Kentucky. I don't remember if Caldwell County did this or not, but there were rumors. There are schools in Kentucky that close days for hunting season. I mean, it's a big deal. Hunting is a huge deal. And I always got a kick out of people. You'd ask them, I've not seen you in church in a while. We certainly have missed you. And their excuse usually was this: it's just so hard for me to get up on Sunday morning. That's my day to sleep in. Oh, I understand. I know it's rough. I know it's hard. So what did you do last weekend? Well, we went hunting. Oh, is that right? Yeah, I bagged my first deer about 6 in the morning and I was done. So you can get up at 4 in the morning to go hunting, but you can't get up at 9 o'clock to come to church. You can see someone's priorities. Our priorities are what affects every decision we make. Are we focused on the temporary? Are we focused on the here and the now? All of our busy tasks are things that must be done. They're not morally evil. But we must start to decide what tasks have eternal significance. Do my actions reflect my eternal outlook? This morning, as we think about priorities, I've said this before, and it really affects how we line things up. I've determined that my number one priority is not, if I'm listing my priorities, my number one priority is not just to write God in at the top. You people are about to throw things at your preacher. I saw you grab things, put them down for just a second. If I'm making my list of priorities, I'm not starting and writing number one God, right? That's how we've been taught. Number one God, number two family, number three, maybe you put church or work or something, then number four, and you go on down like that. I make my priority list like that, and I have for years and years and years until I realize that's not what God wants from us. You see, God doesn't want to be our number one priority at the top, separated by everything else. God wants to be our number one priority in our family. God wants to be our number one priority in our work. God wants to be our number one priority in our church life. God wants to be our number one priority amongst our friends and activities. You see, our outlook is not based on temporary things, such as an earthly life and an earthly family and an earthly job and an earthly living. Instead, our focus is on the eternal. And God being eternal is the priority in all of those things. Ultimately, we have decisions that we have to make. And the greatest decision we will ever make is concerning our decision to follow Jesus Christ. Will we trust Him? Will our outlook be one that sees the eternal significance in believing on Jesus? Will our actions, accepting Him into our heart, affect these priorities? Will we look at the here and now? Or will we see the eternal significance of making God first in every aspect of our lives? As we get ready to close this morning, that is our invitation. Our invitation is, do we make Christ first? Not just at the top of our paper, but the top of every task we have. Is our focus on the eternal, or is our focus on today? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank You. I thank You that You have shown us how we can have a relationship with You. How we can stop focusing on the here and now. How we can quit trying to to fit ourselves into today and give us an outlook that sees the eternal wait before us. Lord, I pray that the decisions we make would be based on a priority to put you first in every decision. Let us always ask the question, is this God honoring? Lord, help us to be a people who turn to you. Lord, for those out here this morning who are trying to line their priorities up and never seeming to get them right, Lord, I pray that you would show them the piece that is missing. I pray that you would reveal to them their need to follow you first and foremost. Lord, make us like Mary. Make us so focused on learning from you. Make us so focused on being more like you. Make us so focused on hanging on every word that you've given to us. Lord, make us focus on following you. And Lord, in doing that, we confess that we can never do that on our own, that we will constantly make mistakes, that we will constantly fall. But you, Lord, you forgive us when we do. That if we follow you, you accept us into your family and you lead us to where we need to go. Lord, let us make decisions this morning based on you as our priority in all things. It's in your name we pray. Amen.